Today is Easter Sunday. What a wonderful day to come out and worship the Lord. Those of you that came out on Friday evening, we had a wonderful service Friday evening. I think there was about, I'm just guessing, around 60 people that came out for that service. And boy, the Lord was most certainly here to meet us that night. And we pray that He is here to meet us today. As the Scripture says, where two or more gathered, that I am in the midst of them, that you're going to be touched and moved by the service today. The sermon title today is A Moment in Time. Glory to God in the highest. Today is Resurrection Sunday, the highest of all Christian holidays. Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is an historical fact that cannot be denied. This fact proves the truth of the Scripture. Through Christ's death and His resurrection, by faith I can be saved. I can know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And by faith I am reunited with my Heavenly Father. By faith I also will be resurrected. And by faith I have access in prayer to my Heavenly Father, meaning by faith I have answered prayer today. I could go on and on and on about the things that we have received because of His death and His resurrection. Just the benefits that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've all may have seen the t-shirt at one time or another, a lot can happen in 3 days, if that isn't the truth. It's amazing what can happen in a moment of time. If I turn to Matthew chapter 27 today, Matthew 27, I go to verse 45. You'll have to excuse me if I get to coughing. Matthew 27, in verse 45, it says, "Now on the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's where our focus was Friday night. But we go on a little further in the Scripture today. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down to save him." Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their graves after his resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." In a moment of time, we were given complete access to the throne of glory. In verse 51, we reread that again because that's kind of where our focus is today. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." This veil was known to be 60 feet high and 30 feet wide between the outer court and the Holy of Holies. And if you go back to the time of the temple worship, you know that the priests only went into the Holy of Holies once a year. And they said at the time that the priests that would go in, they would have a rope tied to their ankle and they'd have bells on the bottoms of their gown or whatever that you want to call that. And when they stopped and they didn't hear any movement, sometimes they had to drag them back out because they were struck dead. Because there was impurity in their life when they went in to offer the blood sacrifice for the people. The Lord Jesus was a sacrifice to end all other sacrifices. He would be the one by His shed blood that would enter the Holy of Holies and offer His own life so we could have life today. This veil that was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide It was said that a team of horses on each end could not tear it apart. But it was torn from the top to the bottom. Through our salvation, through our born-again experience, we have access to the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Through faith, we go before God through him. Saints, when we are going to start, when are we going to start believing that you're different, you're set apart from the world? Through faith today, as the children of God, that doesn't make you better. I have never felt that I was better than anyone, either saved or unsaved, but it does make us different. God does not have grandchildren, and he does not have great-grandchildren. He only has children. You today are a child of God through your faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, one that seems like we've been going back to quite regularly here lately. 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have been born again. Old things have passed away. My old lifestyle has passed away. Yes, I am different than those that are in the world that do not know Jesus. I think different. I act different. I am led differently than the world. No more am I led by what I think or by what the world thinks. Old things have passed away. I walk in the newness of my life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am different. I am led by the Spirit of the living God in everything that I do, I say, or I think." 3 weeks ago, I preached a sermon and I shared that there are three distinct characteristics. There's many, but there's three distinct characteristics that set us apart from the world. Number one, you are born again if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, you walk by faith. And number three, you're led by His Spirit. And that's the one I want to really zero in on today. You are led by the Spirit of God. So the question is for all of us today, are you led by the Spirit of God? Or are you led by your flesh? Or are you led by the world, what the world thinks? In Romans chapter 8, because people can say, well, I don't know about this being led by the Spirit thing. I've never really experienced that. But that's something different that God has given you and blessed you with that you can use in your own life. When you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." I no longer live that way. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now listen to the words. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God." Did you catch it? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God." Everything in your life, because you are different, as a child of God, that you're led by the Spirit of God in all the decision-making, all the actions, and the things that you do. Do you, as saints today, pray for any decision that you are going to make in your life, asking for the Spirit of the Lord to lead you in that decision-making? I pray that you do, because we must be led by the Spirit. That's a characteristic that is in my life that the people in the world do not have. You have something in your life that the rest of the world does not have. It is amazing. 90%, we say 10% of the people in the North American continent are born again believers and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're part of that 10% group that makes you different from all the other 90%. And that's because you have the Spirit of the living God that dwells within your life. Jesus says, "I will not only be with you, I will be in you." As children of God, we have access to the Father. The world does not have access to the Father. That's why we pray for our senators and our congressmen and our president and the leaders of this country to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because let me tell you, this world would be a different place. And this country would be a different place if our leadership was led by the Spirit of God rather than by themselves. Oh, what a difference it would make. The world does not have the access to the Father. Only the children of God do. The world does not have this access, nor do they understand it. And you're going to run into a lot of people in your life that are not going to understand you. People would ask me over time, Leo, how did you ever decide to be a preacher? And when you respond back to them, it was a calling in my life and I felt led by the Spirit of God. They look at you as if you are from Mars. They don't understand. The Scripture says they can't understand. But you and I can understand it. They look at you as like you're from outer space. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it explains it to us. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, But it is written, And eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. Now verse 14 says this, But natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Natural man is unsaved. They can't understand. They can't receive it because they don't have a receiver in their life. You have a receiver in your life when you are born again, that you become that new creation and Jesus Christ is dwelling within your heart. You have the receiver. You can receive the things of the Spirit of God because of the Spirit that lies within you. But the world does not have that. They don't receive it. That's why they think you're from Mars. If you tell them that you think that you are being led by the Spirit, you're making decisions by the Spirit. As husbands and wives, do you pray together? Do you pray about the decisions that you need to make for your life? When you're purchasing things, when you're investing money in things, are you making those decisions by the leading of the Holy Spirit or by the leading of yourself? Because if you're led by yourself, this church would never be successful. The only way that this church is ever going to be successful, and the only way that we have been successful up to this point, because we have made the decision that we are going to be led by the Spirit of God and not by the flesh of man. Man in the flesh does not receive that. Natural man cannot receive that because he has not accepted Jesus. You guys have all heard my testimony probably many times over that I kept going to church and I kept listening in, but I wouldn't go forward to accept Jesus. I wasn't ready to do that. And the minister came to my house and he said, Leo, you know what? You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be born again. And you know what I told him? I said, well, as soon as I get it all figured out, okay? As soon as I get it all figured out, then I will make that decision of whether to accept Jesus or not. And I didn't understand it at the time, but he looked at me and he says, Leo, you're never going to figure it out. You're never going to figure it out until you accept. And when you accept Jesus, He will make it known unto you. What did it say in the Scriptures? Those that do not know the things of man, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot know them. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to them through His Spirit. Now, I've never been to heaven. And you have never been to heaven. But I know that someday that I am going to walk on the streets of gold, and there's not going to be any fluorescent lights, incandescent lights, or any other lights. The Son of God will be the light of heaven. And I've never been there. How do I know that? Because God has revealed that. He reveals it to you through His Spirit. If you turn to John chapter 14, and my goal is to get you out of here early today. So in a couple hours more, we'll be done, okay? Chapter 14 of John. In 14 and verse 15, he says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, and He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth," listen to it, "the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." The world does not have the Spirit, nor can it have the Spirit. It's only through the born-again experience. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 3 that we must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God, because flesh will not enter the kingdom of God. Cannot. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, John 16 and verse 7, he says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come." Who is the Helper? The Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for it will be He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine, and He will declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine, and He will declare it unto you." Saints, there should be a seeable difference in your life than the world. And that's part of the problem that we have in the church today. And I'm not speaking necessarily of Crossroads. I'm speaking of the church across this United States, is that the world cannot see the difference. The world cannot see the difference between the church and the world. And because they can't see the difference, there's no attraction there. Our attraction that we have is because we love one another and we are led by the Spirit of the living God. That sets us apart like nothing else sets us apart. We must be willing to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be directed by the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit. What does it say in Proverbs? Let's go back to Proverbs 3. It's my last scripture for you today. Proverbs 3 makes it very clear to all of us today. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to what? Your own understanding." If your life has not been different since you came to know Jesus, I pray that it will be different forevermore from this day. I will pray about decisions. I will pray about God's leading. I will seek His direction in my life. And if you make that up in your mind, no, not everybody's going to pull in the parking lot next Sunday driving Chevy cars that are all white. But you may be praying about a decision to buy a vehicle, and the Lord will lead you in that decision, and then you may choose what kind it is and what color it is. The Lord gives that over to us. But if we pray for His guidance and His direction, the Word tells us He wants to lead you. The Lord tells us, His Word tells us, He wants you to know Him better. And the way that you do that is by seeking Him and let His Spirit speak to you. Every one of you tomorrow, because a lot of you do devotions on a daily basis, I want you to do this. I want you to pray before you read that devotion. I want you to read that devotion, and then I want you to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because so many people, we fill our life up so much with noise that we never take time to listen to God. And God wants to speak to you. It's an amazing thing when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. We talked about that the other day on Friday. He went there because he needed God's comfort. He needed His direction. And he needed His leadership. If Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, needs the Father's comfort, leadership, and direction in His life, where does that place us? I better not walk out the door tomorrow without seeking the Lord. All because a moment in time, the veil was rent from top to bottom, and you and I, we have access to our Heavenly Father today. What an amazing gift that has been given to us. Father, we rejoice in this day. Resurrection Sunday, Father. You have blessed our lives so much. You have blessed our school. You have blessed our church. You have blessed all of us so much. And we praise you forevermore. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us that has the receiver of the Holy Spirit in our life, that Lord, we'd tune that in just a little bit closer to your leadership and direction in our life and in our church and in our school. Because, Father, I know that you have great things in store for all of us. And you have great things in store for this church and for this school. I pray that, Lord, as people are driving down Highway 5 today, going north and south, they've never been to church, never thought about going to church, but they're going to go and have a dinner and they're going to go have an Easter egg hunt. That they would really know the truth of Resurrection Day. And Father, I pray that as they drive by the Holy Spirit, as they see all the cars, they would be led to join us next Sunday. Be with us as we go our separate ways. I pray for these families, Lord, that you would bless them, open the windows of heaven, pour out your blessings upon each and every one of their lives. I pray that they will enjoy the time with their families if they're going to be with them today. And Father, that you would bless them today and forevermore. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.